We're just about finished with Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to deal with a topical message today. And my text is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And to save your patience and endurance, we're going to divide this in two parts and have the second part after lunch. And putting them both together, you will have the whole message. The title of my sermon today is Batman, Movies, and Murder, Part 1. There was a mass shooting, and what they call a Batman movie, as you may know. And for you children, and praise God for you that have never read a comic book or seen cartoons or been to wicked movies, God bless you, and I'm not here to give you anything that you've missed. Praise God that you've missed it. But I will just tell you, the title here is for the purpose of letting people know what my message is about. And Batman was just a story about a fella that liked to dress up in fancy tights and wear a cape and kind of look like a bird. And he went about supposedly fighting crime. So when it first started out, it was very dark and sinister and violent. And they tried to clean it up over the years. And now it's back to its full occult dark roots. And I'm not saying it was ever right or ever good, but you understand. In these last days, things are getting even more perilous. And why don't we pray? And let me read my scripture for you, and we'll get right into preaching here. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. There it is right there. So obviously there's some folks that are going to be deceived about the subject I'm preaching on today. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Everyone wants to know, I wonder if movies, I wonder if this music, I wonder if these things can affect behavior. They know it can. That's what commercials are all about. But nevertheless, there's always this debate, and I'm telling you right now that the Word of God says evil communications corrupt good manners, and man is prone to be deceived about it. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Don't have your head in the sand. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame, and I believe God's speaking to many Christians today to your shame, and may God help you. Let's pray. Dear Father, please bless the preaching of Thy Word. May Your Holy Spirit fill the preaching. Fill me, Lord. Be with the people. Give us open hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we know in the controversy surrounding the latest mass shooting, one of a number, we know that the killer pretends to be a villain in a movie. And that's very interesting. I'm not here to deal with any controversy surrounding unknown things about this and conspiracies and things like that. And who knows what's going on in this day and age. But I am telling you, over and over and over, we are seeing people that are these young adults that have been going to psychiatrists, and he was going to a psychiatrist. They don't put this in the media because of the pharmaceutical money that controls the media. Their main advertising comes from these pharmaceutical companies. And they never tell you that these people were on psychological drugs and psychiatric drugs. And when you start mixing all of these things together and you get all the ingredients there, and you have this person that has spent his life with all of this Batman crazy stuff, and when they went into his room, they found movie posters and Batman paraphernalia and all of these things. And not only that, he was addicted to dark role-playing games. That is never a good thing. You see more and more people like the Columbine Boys and all of these murderers that have played these occult games where you project yourself and become the actual character that does horrible, unspeakable things in these role-playing games. And so when you put all of this together, you had a toxic situation. As one news agency says, one high school friend said Holmes always rooted for the bad guys in superheroes movies, which he found odd. Now, a question has arisen again, asking whether violent movies can provoke evil. And I believe it's an ignorant question. God says, be not deceived. Evil communications do what? Corrupt good manners. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you're around God-fearing people, if you're around people that are living right, it's going to influence you for good. If you're around fools, what is it going to do? It's going to lead you to foolishness. Is that in the Bible? All right, you don't need a psychologist to do a study. It's in the divine, holy, inspired Word of God. Look at Proverbs 25, verse 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, that's baking soda, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. When you mix both vinegar and baking soda together, you get an eruption, do you not? And the Bible's saying that when you take happy songs and you mix them with somebody that is grieving, and they need to go through that grief process, they need to finish it, and you go and try to, it's okay to cheer people up and that type of thing, but they don't want to hear a happy song necessarily. And you get a mix here that is not good. In other words, it's telling you need to be sympathetic to people. You need to be sympathetic. And obviously, someone who takes someone's garment in cold weather is not exercising sympathy. And now let me ask you a question. If it's true that someone that sings songs, happy songs, to a heavy heart is not a good thing, what about a person that sings wicked songs to a foolish, immature heart? It's not a good mix, is it? What happens when someone shows wicked, violent, lewd movies to immature, troubled hearts that are on all kinds of strange dope? You don't get a good mix, do you? People say, well, millions of people watch these things and there's no change. Every now and then you get a murder, but there's no great change. But they don't realize every decade how things are growing more and more black and depraved and evil. Do you understand that? From the 50s when the horror movement began, and then all of a sudden the 60s, they say it was just horrible in the soaring 60s. And then the 70s, I can't even speak of what happened in the movies. I mean, just the most wicked, gorish, horrible, violent things exploded in the 70s. And what is it now? I mean, this is beyond comprehension. And people are saying, well, are you saying movies cause these things? I am telling you that wicked movies are one ingredient. And when you mix them with other ingredients, you certainly can get very, very horrible things happening in society. I mean, you put the occult in there, you put all of this violence and lewdness, and you put it all together with drugs and other things, and you're going to have a toxic soup here. You're going to have a bad situation. Now, I want to show you that evil men and seducers today, they want to make money at all costs, and they do not, I would say they do not care about what they are doing. But I remember as a guitar teacher that made money teaching bad songs to young people, I never intended to do that, but I remember I did have a conscience. And finally that drove me to be where I am today. And I'm going to show you in the second service that some of these people that have made the most disgusting, violent, gorish movies on the face of the earth are now, I'm not saying they are repenting, but I'm saying for the first time, I'll prove it to you this afternoon, for the first time, they're saying, maybe I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. This is an amazing situation. Christian, I want to ask you a question. If the directors and producers of these movies are saying, I think it's changing behavior and affecting children, what should you as a Christian, the light of the world, what should you who is supposed to know better, who has the Spirit of God, the inspired Word of God, you who should know these things, you're not in darkness. It's a shameful thing. It is a shameful thing in America today to see the state of Christianity in our churches. Now the Bible said these evil men and seducers would want to make money, and they would do it because of selfish motives. Look at 2 Timothy 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Israel's now a nation. We got weather calamities. We have everything the Bible said. But one of the things it said is perilous times shall come. In other words, people will be killing one another. It will be dangerous spiritually and dangerous physically. But notice, listen to me, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, primarily selfish. And notice number 3. What does it say, verse 3? Fierce. They'll just shoot you for your tennis shoes. Fierce. Fierce, murder, unfeeling, without natural affection. Lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God. You don't care what God thinks about it. These people in the last days, all they care about is their addictions. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. I believe that certainly is a prophecy of those waves that enter into the house. Not only do they enter in physically, but they're also entering in through imagery, through the video, through sound waves, and through these movies, through the television. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we certainly see that at this time. Matthew 24, Jesus says, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Meaning that the earth will be like it was in the days of Noah. And what was the earth like? Listen now, what was the earth like in the days of Noah? Genesis 6 says, the earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with what?
Violence.
What's the earth filled with right now?
Violence.
Revelation 9 shows that when Jesus begins to judge this earth in the tribulation period, which is coming very soon, He says, neither repented they of their... What's the number one problem here? Murders, nor of their sorcery. That's that Harry Potter generation grown up. That's that 60s Beatlemania that went over to the gurus of India and brought all that occultism and spread it around the world. Sorcery, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Oh, I tell you what, we've got murder like never before. In America and around the world, you've got these communistic countries murdering people. Here in America, we've got murder that has become part of our institutions. It's become, you have organ taking where the heart is still beating and people are alive and they're taking their organs from living people. That's murder. You've got abortion. That's not a fetus, that's a baby. That's murder. I mean, you've got hospice that's putting morphine to elderly and so-called terminally sick people and is just putting them to sleep, putting them to death, suffocating them with morphine. That's murder. Do you understand? We've got wars, many of them that are not just wars. And we've got things like this that is happening in America today. We've got SWAT team kicking down doors of innocent people. And when they grab a gun to protect themselves, they're being shot. That is murder. But you also have so-called illegal murders. Now, all of those are illegal before God. But what we have here is you have criminals in the streets, and it's certainly abounding. And we are creating a situation because of our ignorance, because of the foolishness in America. They do not want to face the truth of the Bible and the truth of common sense, and that is that evil communications do corrupt good manners. You cannot give children and even adults a bunch of wicked, fleshly, violent, lewd, and let them play the part of these characters and involve themselves. And they want to make it increasingly realistic, do they not? Every decade they want it as real as it can be. And now they're getting children that are affected. You know what? They know good and well what's going on. They know good and well what's going on. Some people want to pretend they're ignorant, but it's just a shame. Romans 1 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but don't miss this, have what? Pleasure in them that do them. You like to watch about gangsters. You like to watch people suffer. You like to watch. And I'm not talking to you necessarily unless you're part of this crowd that's into all of this. But people love to see. They think it's manly to see people suffer on the screen. They think it's manly to see people murdered on the screen and to see all types of lewd things. And they're having pleasure in sin. And we should remember that Christian preachers have warned against the evils of the theater for centuries. I want to remind you of that today. You know that your Bible warns against even looking at the wine. If you want to avoid drunkenness, don't look at the wine. It says, stay away from the strange woman's house. Come not nigh to her house. It warns against making provision for the flesh. So these Christians, understanding these Bible verses have sounded the alarm against the theater. You say, well, do you realize that there were wicked theaters at the time of Jesus and the disciples in Jerusalem and not far away from Jerusalem? There were wicked theaters that Herod had built. And Josephus tells us that. You say, well, I never saw that in the Bible. I wonder why. You know why you never saw it in the Bible? Because Jesus never went. He cleansed the temple, but He never went to the theater. Well, what about Herod's theater? I think Jesus and the disciples said, well, that's a given. That's wicked. That's wicked. But we have a situation now when Christians have lost that basic understanding. That basic understanding. We can go back to Tertullian in the shows that he writes. He says the conditions of faith, he lived a little bit after Christ, and he says the condition of faith, the reasons of the truth, the laws of Christian discipline, which forbid among other sins of the world the pleasures of the public show. He says basically the Bible tells you not to go to these wicked theaters. At first the theater was properly a temple of Venus. Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. Interesting. The heathen censors, in the interest of morality, put down above all the rising theaters. They preached against it. They had enough light as heathens to realize this is going to corrupt society, foreseeing as they did that there was great danger. But Pompey the Great, fearing some time or other censorian condemnation, he didn't want his name marred. He called it not a theater, but a temple. So they begin to say, it's actually a church. It's a temple. This is religious worship. But Venus and Bacchus are close allies. So the theater of Venus is as well the house of Bacchus. We cannot partake of God's feast and the feast of devils. Now, he was a pagan before, I believe. Do you understand that? And he's telling you how it is back in that day. Are we not in like manner enjoined to put away from us all immodesty? On this ground again, we are excluded from the theater, which is immodesty's own peculiar abode. Very harlots too, victims of the public lust, are brought upon the stage. Well, that's no different today. Just because you don't call them harlots, what do you call somebody that is lewd for money? Let the Senate, they're not doing it for charity. Let all the Senate, let all ranks blush for very shame. All licentious of speech, nay, every idle word is condemned by God. I mean these remarks for the heathen. Who's he talking to right now? He's trying to tell the heathen that they're wrong about their addiction to the theater. As to Christians, I shall not insult them by adding another word as to the aversion which they should regard this sort of exhibition. He says he's not going to insult you. That's a shame, isn't it? He says, I wouldn't expect any of you Christians to have this problem. In fact, it gets even worse because Tertullian wrote to the Gnostic occult Christians of the day. And he said to them, because they said you shouldn't fear God. And Tertullian said, now if you're not supposed to fear God, why don't you go to the theaters? Showing that not even the Gnostic occult New Age Christians would go to the theater. That's sad, isn't it? The Bible said in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. They'll come a falling away first. And I tell you what. I would rather withal be incomplete than set memory a-working. He says, I could expose how evil this stuff is, but I don't want to, you know, if some of you have repented of these things, I don't want to sit here and bring all these things to your memory. And that's a problem preachers have. You know what I mean? These Christians, they're in the middle of all of this stuff and you want to expose it, but you don't want to have to get in the mess and look at it and expose it. The Father who carefully protects and guards His virgin daughter's ears from every polluting word takes her to the theater Himself. That's a sad situation, isn't it? That's a sad situation. We ought to detest these heathen meetings and assemblies. if on no other account, that their God's name is blasphemed. Do you think it's different today? I don't believe there's a movie out there, hardly, that doesn't use a word of blasphemy to Jesus or God. They even use Jesus' name in vain. And if it's a children's program, they just shorten it to G or some other form of euphemistic blasphemy. Let us mourn then while the heathen are merry, that in the day of their sorrow we may rejoice. Lest sharing now in their gladness, we share then also in their grief. What I'm trying to show you is the Bible said, come out from among them, be ye separate, be not a friend of the world. You understand the Bible said evil communications corrupt good manners. And I'm showing you that the apostles never went to the theater. And we understand that the early Christians, after the time of Christ, began to rebuke it. Augustine's friend, who came later, was persuaded by Augustine to give up his addiction to the theater. You ought to be persuading people to give up their addiction, should you not? Some worldly associates later persuaded this friend to view the bloody spectacle. He gave in, but he was determined that when he went, he would hide his eyes from any bad parts. But the excitement of the crowd caused him to open his eyes. Augustine says the minute he saw blood, he was sipping animality. That means he became brutal like an animal. And he turned no more away, drunk with delight at the cruelty. No longer the person he was when he entered, he was now entered into the crowd. He stared. He shouted. What happened to that Christian? What happened to that man is when he got around that crowd, it influenced him to become like the... You tell me evil communications won't corrupt good manners? You tell me these people don't know what they're doing to bring you in to that sick pleasure, debased pleasure? The theater continued to be condemned. The reformers, men like Knox, said that you're in the gall of bitterness. The child of the devil that would go to such wicked things. The Puritans blasted it. The Baptists rebuked it. Buckley in Christians in the Theater of 1875 said the Baptist denomination in its many branches, now numbering more than the Presbyterians and Congregationalists united, has never had any sympathy with the theater. The spirit of the body is overwhelmingly against the institution. Folks, that's the 19th century. What in the world do you think those Christians would say about what's going on today? It cannot be. You're not going to get a world that they lived in. You are not going to get the fruit that they got unless you live like they lived. It cannot be proper to see or hear voluntarily for the sake of pleasure what it would be improper to say or do. If the doing of things is sinful, to have pleasure in them that do them must be sinful also. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? If it's wrong, then why sit and enjoy it? T.D. Talmage, a great preacher in 1887, says, when therefore the secular newspapers of the land, contrary to their financial interests, severely criticize the playhouse or theater, their testimony is to me conclusive. He shows over and over and over how all around America, newspapers, editors, writers were saying, this is some pretty sick, immoral stuff. What are we becoming in America? It was nothing compared to what's shown on the screen to little five-year-old children today in America. Do you understand? It was nothing. In fact, you'd call it a Christian movie. If you saw what even the unsaved people were rebuking in that day and age, Christians would get in buses to send their Sunday school just to see it. They would think it's such a moral play. Talmage went on to says, if fathers and mothers take their sons and daughters to see such sodomite lack of robe, they will get what they deserve. I'll let you know that Talmage was a very nice preacher of the time. He was considered a nice city preacher. You say, it sounds pretty strong to me. That's because we're living in such an effeminate generation. You can't take strong preaching. You understand that? Spurgeon, before he died, began to rebuke what he called the downgrade, the destruction of Christianity, the compromising of Christianity. One of the main things he rebuked in the downgrade controversy in his magazine was that some Christians, even preachers, listen to me now, children, listen. Some preachers even were going to the theater. And Spurgeon said, we're in a desperate situation in America today. What is going to be the end of this? What is happening to Christianity that some Christians would dare go to a wicked theater? What would Spurgeon say about today? In 1909, William Beterwolf in the Christian and Amusements said, Xenophon and Plato and Plutarch and Socrates and Seneca and Tacitus and all the best statesmen and writers of Greece and Rome and every other country denounced the theater unmercifully. We've already seen Tertullian said, even your own pagan heathens rebuked it. What are you doing? Macaulay said of the English theater, from the time that the theaters were open, they became seminaries of vice. If you want to teach your child how to do everything wrong, just put a TV in his room. Let him go to the movies. There is on record today a resolution of the American Congress passed soon after the Declaration of Independence, which read as follows. Quote, whereas true religion and good morals are the only solid foundation of public liberty and happiness, resolve that it be recommended to the several states to take most effectual measures for the discouragement and suppression of theatrical entertainments, as are productive of idleness and a general depravity of principles and morals. You say, oh, I want to go back to the days of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers of this country, once they had the Declaration of Independence, or in those days, got together and says, we're not going to force the states to do what we say, but we're certainly going to recommend that they do everything they can, because once that theater enters our country, once people become addicted to it, once we get rid of that, it's going to corrupt the morals of the land. And they said, guess what? When you corrupt the morals of the land, bye-bye to your liberties. Every one of them understood that. What are Americans doing? We need to restore liberty today. We need to get... And boom, 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 boom. They're playing all of that mess. Playing all... Going and seeing these wicked movies. Why don't somebody open their mouth about what's destroying our liberty in America? You say, well, we got people corrupt in the government. Don't you think I know that? Don't you think there's evil men and seducers everywhere? But I'm telling you, it's a judgment from God upon the Christians of this land because of this stinking theater. And if you want liberty, it's time to wake up, people. It's time, it needs to start with you. It needs to start with you. Oh, you say our forefathers and statesmen, they were all fanatics and fools. Very well, let us come further along. How about this? The Chicago Times wrote about a recent play, and he lists about a dozen of these news articles. 25 years ago, such an exhibition would have come well nigh to landing the whole party in the police station. That's what the secular people were saying about the plays. Plays at that time that were nothing compared to what's going on today. So this writer's saying, you're not going to believe the pagan moralists. You're not going to believe the founders of our country. Maybe you'll believe the newspapers, since you love all that stuff so much. Oh, you say, I don't care what the press says. All right. Present day dramatic critics, friends of the stage, are even now prophesying that the day will come, and it is no far distant, when the stage will fall apart of its own corruption. So he quotes all these dramatists and critics who are friends of the play, and they said, oh, wow, it's getting so wicked that basically it's going to bring destruction upon the country. John Gilbert, the veteran actor, warns, such plays have a very bad influence on nearly all people, especially the young. None of my children, said MacReady, the actor, shall ever, on any pretense, enter a theater. That's like that lady, that woman who calls herself Madonna. She says, well, she's not going to let her child watch TV. Isn't that something? You get all these people out here. You've got this wickedness that's going on. And even the actors said, my children sure aren't entering the theater. I wonder what the theater was like then compared to now. Mr. Dumas, the playwriter, said, let me say once for all, you must not take your daughter to the theater. Oh, but Christians are taking them to all kinds of slop today. The pastor, longtime pastor of First Baptist Church in New York City, was I.M. Haldeman. And in Signs of the Times, he said, side by side with this doctrinal downgrade, it was foretold that the church, professed Christians, should be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This prophecy finds its realization in the fact that places of public amusement obtain their support largely, if not mainly, from professed Christians. Isn't that a shame? He could already start saying that in the 1920s. Oh, that's amazing. He called it the downgrade. That's what Spurgeon called it. It's the falling away. You fall, what do you fall? You fall down. It's a falling away of the faith. And both Spurgeon and Haldeman linked it to the theater. The theater. And it began to be circulated that Pastor Haldeman had visited a theater one time. And I tell you what, he took out an ad in the newspaper. He said, a denial! It having been reported in the newspapers that Pastor Haldeman of the First Baptist Church, Broadway, isn't that something? 79th Street, recently attended the theater. He takes this occasion to deny it as an invention of Satan and to say that he is against the theater as he is against all other agencies of the devil. Well, he's going to set that record straight, wasn't he? Oh, that other pastors could say the same thing in America today. The motion picture, of course, then exploded. And they didn't have to just put a corrupt play, but had to travel around to all these cities to bring their corruption. They figured out how to do it on video and spread the corruption around the world. It could be watched over and over and over again. By the time you got to 1942, it had got so vile, so sick, that one Christian, Wallace Mimmer of North Carolina, said, "Why I smashed theater picture machines with a sledgehammer." Why don't we listen to what this man said in 1942? Let's figure out why he went to jail. You want us to figure it out? Let's look. He's going to tell you why he went to jail. "Reliable statistics show that the movies are destroying the public morals and actually producing multitudes of criminal boys and girls, women and men. Movies destroy self-control. They not only show crime, but they teach that crime pays." And that was true. Especially at the time, especially now. "They not only show criminals, but they show them as brave men and women, and romantic, adventure-loving, admirable people, who after all are not so bad." Oh yes. Oh yes. "And the end is not yet." Well, he was right about that, wasn't he? "Oh, yeah. We have just begun to reap the criminal acts from the wicked thoughts." Really? Do you think they actually go into theaters and start killing people? Oh yeah. He was foreseeing this type of thing, wasn't he? Y'all be still up here.
Right.
"Which have been sown in the minds of moving picture showgoers for the past 25 years. Oh, people. We are going to reap destruction because of our cowardly dealing with sin. Parents fail to punish their children. Husbands do not restrain their wives. Preachers do not judge sin and the lives of their church members. The motives of the men who own the moving picture industry are enslavement of the masses, destruction of religion, love of money, desire for notoriety, and thirst for power. They have so designed their films as to sow seeds of religious hate, social hate, racial hate, industrial hate, and revolution. There are a few good pictures, but these are shown so that the public will remain deceived in thinking the movies are necessary and educational. The sad truth is that they are in the wrong hands. Even the good pictures are played by people unfit to be examples." I mean, you know, if you look at that so-called Passion Catholic movie that had all that gore and everything in it, I didn't see it, of course. I rebuked it at the time. But nevertheless, all those actors and actresses were played in pornographic movies. And it wasn't that just, and they never repented of it, and they went on to do it after that movie. I mean, what a shame. Look at what happened to Gibson after that, just railing and blaspheming and drunkenness and all of that divorce and everything that he's doing. But Christians loaded up Sunday school buses to go see that wickedness. I tell you what a shame we have in America today. Listen, I got something to say. Amen? "The overwhelming majority of actors and actresses are immoral. And still, millions are seeking to imitate them in manner, in conversation, in style, in conduct. Seeking constructive..." And that's where we're getting... That's how people learn how to dress in churches, isn't it? That's where they stay about 20 years behind where the world in Hollywood teaches them. That's where you get all these styles and things. You got it from Hollywood. "Seeking constructive entertainment at the movies today is like hunting for healthy, sanitary food in a garbage can. But once you get addicted to it, you're going to sit there and surf that web, get you a little program, I'll get you a subscription to Netflix, you know, and you're going to sit there and you're going to search and look for something to see so you can sit down and snuggle with your wife and watch that slop, and you're going to look. But guess what? There's not anything out there. You're not going to find anything. And now you got an addiction, don't you? What are you going to do? You have an addiction, so you have to watch the slop. People who frequent the movies have developed the swine's appetite. Boy, if he called it a bunch of swine food back then, what do you think it is now? The movie is by far the most outstanding, gigantic enemy of the church. It is the Goliath. And if we Christians don't arouse our sleepy minds and hearts, and with the sling of prayer and faith and the smooth stones of action, protest, destroy the great giant of sin, we alone will be to blame when our pastors are butchered, our churches destroyed, and we find ourselves slaughtered, tortured, and imprisoned by the armies of these modern day atheistic Philistines. As you're looking around at what's happening to your country, look at it. Look and see. And you say, SWAT team's coming in. All of the laws and totalitarian bureaucracy that you see today. You say, what can be done about this? This is horrible. But yet you sit in your room. You sit in your living room and continue to watch trash. God forbid you be one of these conspiracy folks and say that you are awake to what's going on in America as you sit down and participate and the very trash that brought these chains and is bringing chains upon America. Oh, what shame that we should let our enemies defy us for so long. You know, David couldn't believe that Goliath was defying the enemies, defying Israel. And he just couldn't believe it. He said, I have to do something. I have to do something about it. This man, you know, instead of rebuking, he picked up a sledgehammer. And I'm not justifying that, but I'm telling you that he felt he had to do something. You understand it? You know, people say, well, that was wrong. He took up a sledgehammer. Well, can you open your mouth? Can you open your mouth at least? God usually goes the limit in warning the nations before He brings destruction to them. Boy, He certainly did, didn't He? Look at all these preachers He raised up before He brings destruction upon America. If you don't clean up the temple of your body, you'll be destroyed like the temple at Jerusalem. God wants each heart and mind to be His house of prayer, where the individual lives in fellowship and harmony with Him. Out of their hearts are pouring cursing and lusting thoughts. People are pouring unnecessary, rich, concentrated foods, drinks, tobacco, and dope into their bodies, which have become their masters. Their bodies rule their minds and wills rather than their minds and wills ruling their lustful bodies. They have made gods of their bellies. The movies are hastening the judgment of God upon America. We must despise them or forfeit our liberties, our blessings, our lives, and our souls. We must quit feasting on natural filth and soul poison as seen in moving pictures. I like that fellow. And soon, the TV allowed the filth to be brought right into the living room. Vance Havner, the preacher in the 1950s, says, today movies are a cult. The actors and actresses are actually called idols. The theater is the church. It is idolatry. You don't believe that? Anton LaVey says, that's exactly right. The founder of the Church of Satan in 1966, who wrote the Satanic Bible and the Devil's Notebook, said, today we have television dictating fashions, thoughts, attitudes, objectives, as once did the church. Television is the major mainstream infiltration of the new satanic religion. And he hollers, somebody give me a high five. This is great. And he is praising. The preacher says, it's become the new church. Anton LaVey said, that's right. It has. The new satanic church of America. And there's so many Christians that are members of it, and they don't even realize it. You know why? They're deceived. And the Bible says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Oh, Lester Roloff finally rose up. God just keeps sending. And God complains in the Bible. He says, time and time again, I rose up and I sent you. I sent you preachers. I sent you preachers. And they said, return to the old path. Return to the old path. But the people would not. The people would not. So God says, I'll try again. And old Lester Rollot does everything he can in every sermon he ever preached. He did everything he can to rebuke it and rail against it. And Rollot says, you know what I think the greatest idol in America is? There's no doubt about it all. It's television. I believe you call it progress. I call it the devil. I said that years ago and I haven't changed my tune. I'm not going to. I'll fight it till I die. Let's get at the thing that's killing the chair. Hey, roll off. He's not here today. He's dead. But I'm going to tell you something. What would he believe? What would he say if he had to preach to a generation that walked around with the TV in their pockets? Oh, yeah. You got your little TV. And the Bible says in the secret rooms and their secret chambers, you wouldn't believe, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, what they're doing. You wouldn't believe what they're doing, what they see. As you see that little blue goal of your laptop, as you see, what are you watching? What are you seeing? What's going on in the Christians of America? And you wonder why there's no revival. You wonder why there's destruction and judgment from God. Rollout says, I call it the devil. I'll fight it till I die. Let's get at the thing that's killing the church members today. Preachers, don't leave it up to the people. Tell them what the Bible says about it. Mothers and daddies, quit letting your home be run by your bunch of children. They haven't got any sense. They certainly don't have any sense compared to you. Now, what do you do though? Let me ask you a question. You see what worldly you've seen what the godly preachers have said about it. But what about worldly psychologists? What do you do? Listen to me, folks. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when not only 2,000 years of Christian history, but the very psychologists who have always been against morality and God, what are you going to do when they begin to say, I agree with the preachers? Do you know you're living in a day when the psychologists are agreeing with the preachers? I've already shown you and documented how the pediatricians and psychologists around the world are now finding what they call scientific evidence in the brain that when you let children view video, any video whatsoever, it hinders their cognitive ability, language skills, intellectual growth. So, knowing in America that they can't stop it, they say, at least when your child's a toddler and 4 to 5 or whatever, keep them away from the television. These are unsaved, mostly secular, worldly psychologists that are warning against video itself. Oh, but there's more. They're now telling you, you know what? We've warned you against the effects of video on the brain of children. Now they're saying, stop everything. Stop. Wait a minute. We're uncovering research. Hey, listen to me. Amen. We're uncovering research that says it hurts children morally. You know what they're doing? They're saying, I can't believe this. They're rolling up their sleeves. They're saying, them preachers were right. Amen. All these decades, the preachers were right. So now the psychologists are telling America, unbelievable, watching wicked things provokes people to be wicked. Now what are you going to do, Christian? What are you going to do? It's as if nobody's on your side now. Everybody's lined up to tell you what you're doing is wicked. What are you going to do? How are you defended at the judgment seat of Christ? When the Bible says, I will put no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work. I hate the enemies of God in their morality. Oh, you're to love all men, but does that mean you're supposed to love their sin? First of all, in the 1950s, a Jewish man, a Jewish psychologist, he was the first one to really wake up about this. He began to criticize the Batman comics. He realized that because they had motion picture standards, they didn't in the 20s, 30s, or whatever, and then they began to say, well, we got to do something about, we got to have some type of standard. So they had a standard. So the movies tried to sanitize. So what they did was they said, we'll go after the children in the comic books. What we can't put in the movies, we'll put in the comic books. So children began to rush home and grab those comic books. And everybody, these kids in the 1950s, they would just sit down for hours and hours and read about the most grotesque murder. I can actually remember as a camp counselor, those comic books, when I was a little boy, when I was 13 or 14, the things that were spread around. And I couldn't believe some of the vileness that was in these comic books. Well, this happened in the 1950s. And this man, Frederick Wertham, in Seduction of the Innocent in 1954, began to say, you know what, that man kind of looks like a homosexual to me. He started rebuking the violence. And he called television a school for violence. Journalist Paul Coates, in 1955, aired a confidential fire documentary in response to the horror craze, which began in 1952. And in his documentary, he argued that immoral comics and drawings could provoke crime. He said, it's a fact. Horror and crime upset kids. Men are getting rich off of it. And he shows how it provokes them to act these things out in aggression. But what couldn't be put on screen could be put in these comic books. But let me ask you a question, church. What happens when they get the legal right to put what was ever in those comic books on the screen? What type of America will you have? If they were worried about an America with kids reading comic books with this vile stuff, what's going to happen when the kids can sit before violent games and movies like never before? Not cartoons anymore, real life actors. Well, you're living in it. Do you like your America? Hey, I'm going to tell you something. I hope you listen. You haven't seen anything yet. When this thing explodes, once God finally says that He's convinced they're not going to repent, and judgment begins at the house of God, you would not believe what's going to happen in America. Kirby Anderson, Violence in Society, says TV executives are talking out of both sides of their mouths. On one hand, they try to convince advertisers that a 30-second commercial can influence consumer behavior. On the other hand, they deny that a one-hour program wrapped around the commercials can influence social behavior. Isn't that ridiculous? Oh, you know, just buy 1 minute advertising here and it'll change people. Hey, they know it works. They know it influences people. Two prominent Surgeon General reports in the last two decades link violence on television and aggressive behavior in children and teenagers. In addition, the National Institute of Fundamentalists. Is that the National Institute of Fundamentalists? No. The National Institute of Mental Health issued a 94-page report entitled Television and Behavior, 10 Years of Scientific Progress and Implications for the 80s. They found overwhelming scientific evidence that excessive violence on television spills over into the playground and the streets. Long-term studies are even more disturbing. It now appears that simply watching television for long periods can manipulate your view of the world, whether the content is particularly violent or not. Interesting that even the secular worldly people are beginning to sound the alarm. Douglas A. Gentile in Media Violence in Children in 2003 said, you know what? The scientific debate over whether media violence has an effect is basically over and should have been over by 1975. Is he a fundamentalist? No way. Heavy diets of violent television and movies clearly have a detrimental effect on children. Violent video games may have a greater effect than violent TV because of identification with the aggressor, active participation, continuous repetition, reward. He says, so you're actually playing the part. And that's what that fella loved to do. All these murders, you look at them around the country, these child murders, there's the ingredients. You can pretty much identify it. You can find the ingredient. They like black, they like the goth, they like the occult. They love these games. They played them for hours and hours. They love violent, gory movies. And they were on psych drugs over and over again. I'm telling you that even the secular psychologists are now warning about it. This just came out the other day. This is in July 2012. Jewish Pulse Radio reports it. Study direct link between what kids watch and do. Isn't this amazing? They have found out that, you know what? They said, we've got some amazing information to tell you. So the psychologists are telling the world now that they have some amazing information. They said, do you know what we found out? That what kids watch affects how they behave. Isn't that amazing? You know what? The world is always about 2,000 years behind the Christian. Come on now, I'm not that loud. 2,000 years behind the Christians. You understand that? Parents are being warned, they say, again, to beware of what their children see. Because adolescent behavior follows what they view on the silver screen. The word comes in a report from the Association of Fanatical Fundamentalists. The Association of Bible-Thumping Pharisees. Oh no, no. The Association of Psychological Science? What? Warning parents to be careful what their children see because they now have, quote, scientific evidence that what you watch affects what you become? It cites a Dartmouth study on the behavior of children. Ted Baer said the latest research lines up with many studies that have come before and reveals the same result. I'm telling you, you don't need no stinking study. I'm telling you, if we open up the inspired Word of God that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. If you listen to that book, it's always what... Hey, they thought there were only 3,000 stars. Thousands of years ago, the Bible said there's so many stars you couldn't count them if you tried. When they finally got to the centuries where they could take those big telescopes, now they're reporting there's billions and billions of them. You can't count them. Well, that's what our Bible said thousands of years ago. In Job, it says the eagle can see that little mouse or that little fish a mile up in the sky. Oh, for hundreds of years, even right up to the late 1800s, textbooks for children in science and biology said, we now know that the eagle doesn't see, he smells. Oops! Now they know, guess what? We were wrong. He does see. Oh, our Bible was right. So after listening to atheists and psychologists and social reformers and progressive liberals all tell us that our Bible's wrong, what you watch doesn't matter, and all of the Christian preachers that had any light at all rebuking and warning society, and they were mocked and scorned, now guess what? They're saying, uh-oh, our research now proves that your children are going to be affected. The little ones are going to have delayed speech. They're not going to be cognitively mature, intellectually mature. They're going to have trouble reading if you just let them see any video. But now they're saying, wow, it really affects their behavior. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Ted Baer said the latest research lines up with many studies that have come before and reveals the same result. The problem is that the message has not gotten to the parents even after all these years. Isn't that amazing? Baer says, why is it when we know now? Well, Mr. Baer, we knew 2,000 years ago. Our Holy Bible said that evil communications corrupt good manners. But Baer says, why won't the Christians wake up and realize this? Well, maybe it's because you're putting out a movie guide, buddy, that goes through and tries to show them all the filth that's in these movies. But anyway, you're still keeping them in that entertainment pool. You understand? There's not enough good movies for you to watch. If you're going to get addicted to watching them, you're going to run out after 2 weeks. What are you going to do? These movies appear to fundamentally influence their personality, O'Hara said. one of the researchers. They influence your personality? You mean like listening to Britney Spears' music will make little girls want to dress and act like her? You mean, can that actually be true? You mean when everybody goes to a movie and they glorify the killer and everybody hollers and roots and eats popcorn and actually celebrates him? You mean somebody somewhere will say, I want to be a superstar? I want some media attention. I want to be the Joker. Researchers said there also was evidence that adolescents use movies for an understanding of how to behave in various situations. They often don't differentiate between what they see on the screen and what they must confront in daily life, the study warns. Children, their minds are developing. Their brains are developing. They're trying to get a sense of what's right and wrong. And you put that stinking slop before them, they begin to act it out. They begin to bounce around and have dazed looks and can't sit still. You can always look at a kid and know that he's been playing them computer games and watching movies. You can always tell by looking at him. And I'm saying it's time for you to save your children. You know, it's time for you to get right with your own soul if you have this addiction. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Wait till you hear the second sermon. If that didn't convince you, wait till you hear the second sermon. But I hope it convinced you. I hope it convinced you. How long are you going to wait? As my dear wife comes and plays a song I would like for you, we're going to have a call to prayer and repentance at the end of our second sermon today, if there's any, even if you got to pray for somebody else. But right now, I'd just like you to bow your heads if God's calling you to pray and if there's business you need to do with the Lord. As my wife plays a song that she wrote, I pray it'll minister to you. And I pray that you'll be challenged today to do something for your children, to repent of letting that television and video raise your children, to repent of your own addiction, to repent of what you've already done to your children, to repent of your hardness of heart, your self-denial, your denial that says these things can't be true. May God bless you as my wife plays and sings.
Somehow your eyes are open wide. Your heart is aching for that something more. Come on and lay your burdens down. You can't keep on carrying much more. The way of the sinner and the cross, the way He made to break these hearts of stone, holding up a light for all the lost. It's the way of the sinner and the cross. Drifted far, but He's out calling you. He's made a way for you to come back home. keep on running, but turn your heart around. He'll take your old life and give you something new. It's the way of the sinner and the cross. It's the way he made to break these hearts of stone. Holding up a light for all the lost. It's the way of the sinner and the cross. You've been turning away so many years now. You're tired, you're weary, and you're worn. Why keep on running? Rest at the cross now. Let your life be full of something more. It's the way of the sinner and the cross. It's the way he made to break these hearts of stone. Holding up a light for all the lost. It's the way of the sinner and the cross. Let it go, sinner. Come on home, sinner. It's the way of the sinner and the cross.
Dear Lord, bless our fellowship together, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen.